Does Jesus love his church? You'd be surprised if how many Christians outside of this room I would ask, and they would say, yeah, probably. There's a confusion out there in the world today that Jesus is this milquetoast type philosopher out there that had some good ideas, but it just, it just doesn't work. It's a good place for my tribe to come together. But I want you to know he burns. He burns for the glory of his Father. He burns for those who are truly his, to flare with the glory of God and bring glory and honor to God Almighty with their lives. How do I know this? Because he gave us an example.
It was almost time for the Passover festival, so Jesus went to Jerusalem. Found people selling cattle, sheep, and pigeons, and also the money changers sitting at their tables. From cords and drove all the animals out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He overturned the tables of the money changers. Scattered their coins. Yeah! And he ordered those who sold pigeons.
Take them out of here! Stop making my father's house a marketplace!
His disciples remembered that the scripture says, "My devotion to your house, O God, burns in me like a fire." The Jewish authorities came back at him with a question.
What miracle can you perform to show us that you have the right to do this? Tear down this temple, and in 3 days I will build it again.
Are you going to build it again in 3 days?
It has taken 46 years to build this temple.
But the temple Jesus was speaking about was his body. So when he was raised from death, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and what Jesus had said.
Does that Jesus bother you? Some of you were, I don't like that kind of Jesus. I like the loving Jesus. Folks, the loving Jesus went to the cross, but I want you to understand, he burned with passion for the temple of God. That word zeal means great energy, pursuit, passion, we would call it today. Why? Why would Jesus do that? Doesn't make sense to be loving like that, does it? If we are not careful, we will forget that Jesus is not just our Savior. He is Lord and Master of our lives. Not to be feared, but to be reverenced extremely deep. to understand that he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and all as his church needs to, should be doing is bringing glory and honor to him with our lives. Not in fear, but in humble obedience to his word. See, the temple was the one place on earth at that time that people could go and be in his presence. The only place on earth that they could come and bring a sacrifice, acceptable sacrifice, for their sins and be forgiven. Only place on earth at that point. This part of the temple where they were doing all of this, it was actually three concentric circles. You had the Holy of Holies, and outside of that was where the offerings, the sacrificial offerings. Outside of that was the place that the men would come. Outside of that would be the women. Outside of that would be the Gentiles. So here in this area where the world could come and find out who this God is, that's what they encountered. And everyone who went to praise and glorify God had to walk through that. The temple was holy, and they had made it into something that was cheap. So I asked the question earlier, why would Jesus do this? See, they were tarnishing the name and character of God. As you can imagine, a Gentile walking in going, well, if this is what their God is, I might as well go down to the marketplace. I'd be just as close to him. They were hindering and preventing others from worshiping him in truth. Couldn't get to him. Then Jesus demonstrated the judgment of God in real terms. He loved the temple. So where is the temple of God today? You got to answer that. Where is that today? It's in the heart and mind of every born-again child of God. If you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are the temple of the living Lord. Acts chapter 1, verse 1 through 4, when the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled. They were filled with the Spirit of God. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20, Paul says, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? Who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. You are the temple of the living God. Now, if Jesus was this serious about the glory of God when he walked on earth, what makes us think he is not just as serious about it for us? Why do we think that we can get along and do whatever we want? Because we are under grace. I love grace. But grace is not a license to do whatever we want to do. We have been saved to bring glory and honor to God Almighty. And we do that by the way we live, not in perfection. None of us can be perfect in the way we live. But the mindset is, I so long to live that whoever is watching at any point of the day, that they see my God. And in those times that I mess up, I'm going to repent of that, and I'm going to walk forward. Jude has been writing to the church because there was false teaching coming in there, and he loves the church just like Jesus did. And the church was concerned, are these new truths what I need to be following? Much like the world today, you can jump on the internet and you can find all sorts of things that somebody says, here's how Jesus was. Here's how he wants to accept you. It's what his word says that is important. And Jude says he wants them to understand, be at peace. God knows those who are his. He is watching over his church. And he will bring truth out of that. Truth comes in judgment at times. Jude verses 5 through 7. Though you already know this, I want to remind you that the Lord at one time delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their positions of authority but abandoned their proper dwelling, these he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day. In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve as an example of those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. Let's pray. Father, it would be real easy to get carried away and just start lambasting everything. And that's not what we want today. We want your truth spoken in their hearts and my mouth. And I pray that you do that. May we see that you are protecting your church, even though it seems to be taken over by all sorts of wild ideas. And Father, may you just touch the hearts of the young ones here to know that there is truth to be lived and known. And you accept all those who come to you through the death of Jesus Christ. Now, Father, may we just truly understand your word and your name. Amen. Boy, Jude is fired up, isn't he? Woo! He's about the false teachers and those have crept in secretly to declare their truths that they're saying came straight from Jesus Christ. It's having the same effect as the market in the temple, as people are having to shift through these different ideas to get to the truth, and they were confused and keeping people away from the Lord Jesus Christ. It was tarnishing the name and character of Jesus Christ, hindering those who desired to come close to Jesus for the truth of salvation. They were stopping short. What are these people? I don't see anything in their lives that's different than I cannot find in the pagan temples. Why should I listen to them? It's the same thing we have today. I want you to know that God burns for his church today. You, each one of you, burns to have that revelation of glory within you, to be so close to him and to know the truth that you allow him first to forgive and then to change into the image of Jesus Christ. Jews wants his readers to understand that God knows who his children are. He knows who those who truly want to know what the truth is. Search that out. Try to place it in their lives. Trust the Spirit of God. He knows who they are, and he understands the struggles you are going through. He understands those struggles of when society screams at you how stupid you are to believe in such a thing. And he understands that struggle that you're going through. But he also understands that there's truth out there, and he will fight for you. Hear that again. He will fight for you when you truly have that mind open to his word and his spirit, and you truly long to live the life that glorifies God. He fights for you. He wants them to understand that this is nothing new with God. He has dealt with this in the past. And he gives us three things. He judges stubborn resistance to his command. And he gives us three examples. The first one, unbelieving Israelites in the wilderness. Okay? Verse 5, though you already know this, I want to remind you that the Lord at one time delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe. That doesn't sound loving, does it? God brought over 1 million Israelites out of Egypt. Marvelous, the things that they saw, great miracles, they experienced it. They saw them firsthand. There was no guessing where they came from. They knew what God was doing. It's almost as if they were standing around the throne of God, watching him work, the miracles that he did. They crossed the Red Sea, dry ground. God destroyed the Egyptian army in that same sea as they were going after him. God did that. They were there. They saw it. They understood it. He took care of all of their needs in the wilderness. He had a cloud by day and a fire by night to protect and guide them. He was close to them. He protected them from armies that they should never have been able to conquer. But they did. They were slaves. They were not warriors. Then God sent spies into the promised land so that they would see that it was everything that he had said to them through Moses. How wonderful it is, a land flowing with milk and honey. And they came back and gave their report. It's everything. Everything God said, but he didn't tell us everything. There's still people there. And there's walled cities, and there's warriors there. God had told them to go in. It's yours. I'm giving it to you. But they rebelled against God's word and against God's promises, and they refused to enter the promised land. They even planned on returning, go back to slavery. They were all saved from Egypt. They all experienced the blessings from God, each and every one, but not all of them were believers. They were what I call tag-alongs for the goodness of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 6. They had tasted the goodness of God. It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, as these Israelites, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted, once again, that's tasted, not consumed, the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, who have fallen away to be brought back to repentance. To their loss, they are crucifying the Son of God all over again, subjecting him to disgrace. Understand that when you reject the draw of the Spirit of God, you better pray somebody is praying for you, because that may not come again. Some became complainers and murmurers. Some rejected and hindered the leadership of God provided by Moses. They accused God of bringing them out of Egypt to be destroyed so that their wives and children would become plunder. We find that in Numbers 14, 3 through 4. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? What was the word? Go in. What was the promise? I'm giving you this. Yes, there's warriors there. I brought you through those before. I will be with you. Our wives and our children will be taken as plunder. God, how could you do this? Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to each other, we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. They have rejected God's promise and God's word. Rejected it. Of that whole generation of adults, only two entered the promised land, Caleb and Joseph, because they both said, we should do it. And God preserved them. It wasn't Joseph. You know what I mean. Numbers 14, so they tell them, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you this very thing that you I heard you say. In the wilderness your bodies will fall, every one of you 20 years and older or more, who are counted in the census and who grumbled against me. Not one of them will enter the land I swore with uplifted hand to make your home, except Caleb and Joshua, as your children you have said would be taken as plunder. I will bring them to enjoy the land you have rejected. Think of Judas. All that he experienced with the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw the miracles. He heard the words. But he rejected Jesus. And as a result, he was rejected. God knows who those are his. Look at the rebellious angels in heaven. Verse 6, and the angels who did not keep their position of authority but abandoned their proper dwelling, these he kept in darkness bound with everlasting chains for the judgment on the great day. Angels at one point did not keep their proper assigned task or place, but they left it. They left the place that God had created them to be, to form around God, to carry out his commands. These angels are those that rebelled along with Satan. And they lost their place in the heavenlies. At one point, they were sinless, and they had the ability to choose. And they lived in the very presence of God, ministered before him. They witnessed all the grandeur, everything that God had made. And they witnessed all that God has done. And still, they served God constantly. But when Satan rebelled, some of them went with him. Some of them were so heinous that they were removed from heaven and came down to earth with Satan. Others were bound and placed in a place that is reserving for hell. Understand, hell was never to be created for mankind. That was for Satan and his angels. But because of our sinfulness and our rebellion against his commands and the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ, he will allow us walk through those gates. Even the angels are not excluded from the judgment of sin. And it seems like pride and lust were not reserved for mankind alone, as they longed to have the place of God. Understand Luke 12, the last part of 46. For everyone who has been given much, who has been shown much, who understands much of what God has done, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. The Israelites coming out of Egypt, they had been shown much. And much was demanded, and that much was obedience to go into the promised land. The angels gathered around the throne of grace, understanding what God has done. They had seen much. And as a result, much was demanded from them. And when they rebelled, he's got them contained until the day of judgment. At creation, regardless of what or who it is, was created to produce glory and honor towards God Almighty. At creation, no matter what it is or who it is, they were created to bring glory and honor to God Almighty. What God expects from his other creations and other creatures, he expects from us as well. The heavenlies are not the only thing that declare the glory of God. We are to do that. By the way we live, by the way we think, by the way we respond, by accepting his provision of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we may once again come into his presence and be accepted eternally blessed. But there's also the Sodom and Gomorrah, gross immorality and perversion. Verse 7. In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding town gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve as an example of those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. Who wants to preach this verse? We have to understand this. We have to go back because he says in a similar way. In other words, the angels did not perform as they were created to be. And in the same way, this area did not as well. Angels did not keep their proper task. They did not exist and function as God intended. And as a result, that brought judgment upon them. They decided they wanted to be something different than what God created them to be. And as a result, judgment came. King James calls this fornication and going after strange flesh. You will not hear those words very often today. They had completely and totally pursued a lifestyle of perversion that was different than God created for them. He created us, purpose and meaning as he wanted. Here are two cities that had fallen into the practice of immorality and perversion. Not just homosexuality, but just complete and total. You can't ignore that part, but it was everything in between. Immorality and perversion was not the only reason. Ezekiel 16, 49 and 15. Now this is the sin of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters were arrogant towards God, arrogant towards how he had created them, overfed. They had been blessed, but they did not bless God, and unconcerned about anything, about eternal life or God or anything else. They were unconcerned. It's all about me. That's what that means. It was all about me, what I want, what I desire, how I want all of my so-called needs and desires fulfilled. I will be my own God. That's what was going on there. They did not help the poor and needy. They were haughty and did detestable things before me. Therefore, I did away with them, as you have seen. That word detestable means morally disgusting and abomination before God. God had created man and woman differently on purpose. This world wants to make us all the same. We are not all the same. The brains are different. The bodies are different. The desires. We were created to mesh with one another, not be one another. Genesis chapter 1, 27 and 28. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds of the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. God blessed both of them in the bodies that they had, and the purpose was to fill the earth with themselves, okay? With those like them. They had purpose, they had meaning. God never ordained or approved sexual activity outside the bonds of marriage. And no, it does not matter how much you love one another. Never. You will not find that in God's word. Society will tell you it doesn't matter as long as there is love. That is not what God's word says. I don't call it sin. He calls it sin. And if we're going to bring praise and glory and honor to God Almighty, that cannot be a part of our lives. There is no such thing as approving of living together in God's word or trying them out first to see if you are compatible. You will not find that in God's word. That's what's being taught to our young people. You going to try it out first? See if you're compatible? Has God told you to get married? Well, how do we know unless we live together? No! You will not find that in God's word. And as a result, we are bringing disgrace upon God Almighty because the world can't see a difference between how they live and how the church lives. And Jesus burns for the glory of God. There is no such thing or approval of laying with the same sex as you would another sex, married or not. It is called sin. Now, the scripture is clear on this. Not just the Sodom and Gomorrah verses. There are others in the Old and New Testament. It is called sin, no matter what this society says. Now, how do we deal with that? We don't judge them. That's God's purpose. We don't beat them up. We pray for them. We pray that God's truth will come upon them, that they will see and they will learn and they will know and choose Him. We will live in such a fashion that God can highlight what a marriage is, what a family is, how He can bless that. We may argue whether their same-sex tendencies are born that way or nurtured that way, but it does not change the fact God calls it sin. I would much rather tell you how much God loves you. But if we don't speak the truth, then we are truly not loving. That's what Jesus was doing in the temple. Regardless of the cause, we must abandon sin, all sin, for Christ. Even that one that you keep tucked away. Even that one that you say is not as important as the ones that others have. All sin in your life is to be fought, is to be tucked away, is to be allowing the Spirit of God to come and give you strength. It's standing up when you fail again. And fail we will. But we fight it for God's glory and our blessing, that we may shine and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not just these sins, but everything God defines as sin. Whether it's pride, whether it's lust, whether it's gossip, whether it's any of the other things that are listed as sins in scriptures. Everything is to be turned over to Him for His glory. If God did not ignore this sin, then how can we expect Him to ignore it today without judgment coming? And judgment will come. As it continues to grow, as it continues to get even more away from God Almighty. It may appear like God is approving or not paying attention, but folks, judgment is coming. Whether it's on a nation, whether it's on an individual, or whether it's in a church. Judgment is coming if we do not stay with the truth of His word and live it. Don't be scared of it. It is truth, and God will make sure that when the day comes, that He will know you're His and you have held to that truth. Randy, I just don't know. Great place to be. As long as you're open, the Spirit will lead and guide you in His word. But you've got to be open. Randy said that the Bible said this is sin. I don't know if it's true. Study it. That's what He wants you to do. Come unto Me. all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, which is the yoke of his teaching, and I will give you rest. I will trust you in the hands of the Holy Spirit. It's much better than Randy. If Jesus cleared the temple for his Father's glory, then how can we expect him to ignore it today where sin abounds? Where sin abounds. Remember, church, Jude is speaking to the church and not society. So often we want society to reflect what's going on in the church, and honestly, it is. Society has come into the church, not necessarily here, but in the American church. And they have accepted things that God has said is sin, and as a result, the world can't see any difference. Can't see. Jude is speaking to the church. Don't be concerned about what's going on. Reject the false teaching. Cling to that which you have heard from the apostles. Cling to it. And know that it is true regardless of what this smooth-talking, charismatic person says over here. Isaiah 5, verse 20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who calls what God has said is true to be evil and to proclaim it. Woe to those. I'm not saying the woe. God's speaking to the prophet Isaiah. Woe. Who defined evil? God does. Not Randy, not the church, not the religion. God defines what evil is. Who defines what's good? God does. God does. Thank God for his grace and mercy. For without it, we would all be lost. And there would be no hope of his blessing upon our lives. No hope for the truth to come in. There is grace and mercy available to everyone in the world today, and that will come later. Grace and mercy. Yes, there is sinfulness, deserving judgment. But yes, there is also grace and mercy for those whose hearts are repentant. God, I long to be your child. I turn. As best as I can, I turn from what you say is sin. If it's here, I'm going to take it out. I'm going to start dealing with it. I'm going to trust your Spirit. I'm going to accept I'm going to accept what Jesus has done for me on the cross. I want to glorify you with my life. There is so much grace and mercy. You can't get away from it. Isaiah 1, verse 18. Come now, let's settle the matter, says the Lord. Some of you may be here, oh, Randy, if you knew what my previous life has been like, you wouldn't say that. Yeah, here's what Isaiah says. Let's settle this matter. You fought it and you fought your past so much that you're not enjoying the future of what God has for you. Though your sins are scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be as wool. That's what God wants to do in your life and the life of every person you come in contact with. Forgiveness. Acceptance. Living a life that we know is based on truth, not society, not science, even though God uses science. Either God's revealed word is true, every part, every command, or folks, it's not worth the paper it's written on. It's either true or it's not. What has happened in the church today is they take this part, I like this, I love love, grace, and acceptance, and that's true. This other stuff that Randy said today, I don't like that, so we're going to take and put it away. Either all of it is true or you can't trust any of it. If you cannot trust it entirely, how can you trust it deeply enough to live it when all society screams, you are wrong? You are wrong. We are not here to change society. We are here to change ourselves. And if more of us change ourselves, folks, we will change society. We will do that. 1 Corinthians 5:17. Many today do not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ in the church. Paul said it this way, and if Christ has not been raised, according to Scripture, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Either what the apostles said is true about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, or it's not. And if you do not believe in it, you're still lost in your sins, because it's a fact that happened. Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness to turn stone into bread and satisfy his body needs in the way his Father has not authorized. He'd been in the desert for 40 days, fasted for 40 days. He became hungry, Scripture says. That means his body is shutting down. And Satan comes to him and says, no big deal. Just turn that stone there into a loaf of bread. He knew he could do it. How many of you would miss a stone in Highlandville? Wouldn't miss a stone at all. Here's what he says, and this is what he's saying to the church. You have a desire. It's a true desire. You're hungry. Here's a way you can fulfill that by just turning it into stone. It doesn't matter how you fulfill it. Just go ahead and do it. That's what society is saying. His response, though, is what's important. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Let's pray. Father, truth sometimes is not pleasant. Truth sometimes is difficult to put our heads around and to bring us and bring ourselves under. We categorize sins, and as long as we don't get up to stage 5, we think we're okay. But sin is sin in our lives. I thank you that we can live for your glory. And that when we stay close to your truth and close to the Lord Jesus Christ and close to your word, we can live regardless of what society says for your glory. And you protect us. And you will bring us into your presence with joy. My Father, it's a tough time out there. As this person says this about Jesus, and this person has a new interpretation, or this person has a new dream, it's contrary to what the apostles have said. But sometimes it is what we want to hear. So Lord, right here, right now, we want to dedicate ourselves to you. We have not been living the way that you have instructed us to live. We've allowed some sin to come in, and we've justified it. May we see that there is forgiveness of that with a repentant heart and a blessing to live as we go forward. But Father, each one of us must make that decision ourselves. And I pray that your Spirit would come down now and just wrap around the heart of the one that had been trying so hard and is having so much trouble, to let them know of your great love and how you are protecting them and you will lead and guide them. That, Father, that your Spirit would come down and put that pressure on the one who's leaving sin in their lives to satisfy a desire in a way maybe you haven't approved. May they repent of that today. Know that there's a great battle ahead, but may they turn their face to you and allow you to forgive and you to fill and you to lead. Bless now, as only you can, in your name, for your glory. Amen. Stand with me, please.